Good morning. Glad you could join us today. Trust you're well physically, spiritually and mentally. And if you're not, you know the answer. It's so good that we're able to be together and be in contact with each other, whatever methods we use. It's always good to have someone to turn to who you know well, perhaps somebody in the church or perhaps somebody in your own family. You know what they say? A problem shared is a problem halved. And it's so important that we keep in contact with each other, especially in these days in which we live. So let's just have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for another day of your grace. We are so conscious, Lord, of your love and your grace to us. Your grace, Lord, that reaches down even to the lowest depths of wherever we may be. We pray, Father, this morning you will bless us. You'll speak to us, you'll encourage us, and Lord, you'll lift us up to be the people you want us to be. We ask it in your name. Amen. I want this morning to bring a few words and thoughts on the words, I am. Two little words, but with tremendous significance for us in this day and age in which we live. And the two verses of scripture I want to bring and consider this morning. The first is found in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. You shall say to the children of Israel, I am, have sent me to you. The second is found in John 8, verse 58. Before Abraham, I was. There are seven times in scripture when Jesus refers to himself as the I am. And these are those that I want us to spend a little time with looking at the moment and considering for the few moments that we have left of us. I am. All of them are found in John's gospel. I am the bread of life, John 6, verse 35. I am the light of the world, John 8, verse 12. I am the door or gate, John 10, verse 9. For I am the good shepherd, John 10, verse 11. I am the resurrection and the life, John 11, verse 21. I am the way, the truth and the life, John 14, verse 6. And then finally, 7, I am the true vine, John 15, verse 1. All distinct in their own way and all unique and exclusive to Jesus Christ. In all of these I ams, we find the answer to all human need. For instance, the bread of life. Bread is probably one of the most staple diets in the world. We're told it helps build our bodies and helps to develop our brains. I know there are some people who are immune to bread made of wheat, but there are other sources of wheat, of bread that they can eat. And I want to talk about that for a moment, the bread of life. Jesus declared himself as the bread of life. So if we have Jesus, then we have life. At the Last Supper, Jesus took bread and he broke it. And he said these very significant words. This is my body, which is broken for you. And so Jesus is referring to the bread as the body of himself. And so we partake, not literally, but spiritually, of the body of Jesus Christ. And we have bread and we have life, the life of Jesus within us. And then there is the light. I am the light of the world. If you go out of a night, no stars, no moon, no street lamps, and you're walking, not very long before you start to be fearful or wondering what's happening or what might be waiting, could fall over something and hurt yourself. We all need light. And Jesus is the one who says, I am the light. I am the one who is directing you, guiding your path all the way to heaven. Those who have Jesus have light. Those who do not have Jesus are walking in darkness. They may not realize it. They don't appreciate it. But without Jesus, they are walking in darkness. And then there's I am the door. Every building has a door. Years ago in Sunday school, those of you who are old enough will remember, we used to sing a chorus. One door and only one, and yet its sides are two. Inside and outside. Which side are you? One door and only one, yet its sides are two. I'm on the inside. Which side are you? And Jesus is referring to himself as the door or the gate of the sheepfold. And he's saying that anybody who wants to get into the sheepfold to find protection, to find safety, must go through Jesus. He is the door, the only door. And he's also, if you like, referring to the sheepfold as being heaven. Jesus is the door into heaven. To take one of those, or part of one, this morning, it's this one. I am the way. There is no room for ambiguity. No room for doubt. No room for debate. It's like being pregnant. You're either pregnant or you're not pregnant. You can't be partly pregnant. You're either dead or you're not dead. You're not part dead. And Jesus is declaring that he is the way. Jesus is telling it as it is. I am the way. Many religions would claim to show you the way. Follow this path. Go on a pilgrimage. Do this oblation. Obey the teachings of this mystic person. And follow this creed or this pattern. And then one day, you might find the road to enlightenment. Only Jesus has ever declared that he is the way. I am the way. And no man can come to God except by me. Now, I know how controversial that is becoming, that Jesus is the only way to God. But controversial or not, from all those years that have passed since Jesus said it, no one else has been able to declare that Jesus was not telling the truth. And what we need to know is that we are on the right way and not end up getting lost in a spaghetti junction of endless roads until we don't know which way to go, until we don't know which way to turn, and we are lost. Have you ever been lost when you've been out with your parents, just for a few seconds or just for a few moments, the panic that sets in when you realise your mum and dad are not there? Now, might only just be a couple of feet away, but being small and with people around, you can't understand. And the panic that sets in until you are reunited with your parents. And then the joy and the relief that comes of knowing that you're not lost, that yet they are still there for you. Imagine the terrible plight of those people who realise that they are lost for all eternity. This morning, I want us to consider another I am. In fact, just that, I am. Seems simple, but actually all the other I ams are tied up with this one. God revealed himself to Moses way out in the desert, way out in the wilderness, through a burning bush. I never fail to be amazed at the kind of people that God chooses to use. If we're honest with ourselves and we had our own businesses, not many of us would give the disciples a job. Arguing, fighting, up and down, unreliable. But Jesus chose disciples. He chose a man called Gideon, who was basically an idol worshipper. He chose Moses, a man who was a murderer and a fugitive. He chose me. So therefore, you know what I mean by the sort of people that God chooses. Moses was running away, hiding away, scared, a fugitive, a murderer, looking over his shoulder every day, wondering if Pharaoh's soldiers were coming to get him because he had killed one of their own. And Moses is walking around looking after the flock, when he sees a bush that is burning. Now, there's nothing spectacular about a bush burning in the desert in the heat of the day. But as Moses watches, he realises that this bush is not consumed. In other words, it's not turning black, it's not turning to ash, it just continues to burn. And so he decides to go and look at this bush. And as he comes to the bush, God calls him out of the bush. Moses, I have a job for you to do. I have heard the cry of the people of Israel, and I'm going to set them free. Moses, you are the one who is going to do that for me. Now, Moses, being Moses, and I have to say, I don't really blame him, I think I'd have been the same, started to make excuses. All the reasons in the world why it should be someone else and not him. And aren't we like that from time to time? God comes and asks us to do something, and we think, well, Lord, so-and-so is better at it. They're much better at that than I am. Why don't you ask them? But when God has a task for us, we have to obey, and he'll give us the ability and the tools to do what he wants us to do. But Moses starts to make excuse. Then he says, who shall I say has sent me? Who shall I say to the children of Israel has told me to go and tell them what you're going to do for them? And God said to him, you shall say, I am, I've sent you. So clearly, there is something in that name that the children of Israel would already understand and accept. It is the eternal, unchanging name, the name that spans time, years, and eternity. What do we understand about that name, or to be correct, that title? It is a unique title. I am a unique name. It can read, I am what I am to myself, and I am to you. The one who is and ever will be. The I am, my eternal name, the name to all generations. The Hebrew word is inyan, which can mean I am walking, I am tired, I am working, I am busy. But when it was used by Jesus, he was being confronted by the Pharisees and the rulers of the time. And in his standalone title, it would leave them in no doubt to what Jesus was claiming. He was declaring in crystal clear terms, I am God. In verse 25 of John's Gospel, they had asked him, who are you? Then as the debate goes on, we get down to verse 56 and he says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day and he saw it. And they said, how could Abraham have seen you? He has been dead almost 2,000 years and you are not yet 50. You see, like many people, they want things crystal clear. They want things so cut and dry that there can be no room for doubt. They couldn't understand what Jesus was saying. They didn't understand that Jesus was talking about his pre-existence and not his actual physical age. Jesus was making them think in ways they'd never thought before. That's sometimes a good thing, that God makes us think in different ways. He was rocking their religious boat, and they were so blind in their religion and systems that they could not see it. They could not understand. There's a saying, isn't there? There's nothing worse than a closed mind. And we can be like that. We can be like that in our Christian ways, our Christian beliefs, in the things that we do and the way we do them, that we cannot see clearly what else needs to be done or a new way. Jesus never denied the Pharisees their physical ancestry. He knew their history, of course he did. But in fact, he was saying, your ancestry, your systems, your religion cannot save you. Then Jesus drops a bombshell. And I have no doubt whatsoever he knew what he was doing. Before Abraham was, I am. Now, he could have said, before Abraham was, I was. But no, it was before Abraham, I am. Why? Because Jesus was able to say, I am, because he's the God of yesterday, the day and tomorrow. My mother always used to say to me, there's no such thing as tomorrow. And I used to think, what does she mean? Well, the explanation is this. Yesterday's gone, today's here, tomorrow never comes, because when tomorrow comes, it's today. And it's like that in many ways, per illustration, with Jesus. He's the God of yesterday, he's the God of now, and he'll be the God of tomorrow, when tomorrow comes. Because God does not live in time, he lives in eternity. He lives in a different sphere to what we do. And so he is indeed the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And so they took up stones to stone him, which was because they understood straight away that he was calling himself to be in the same position as God. They took up stones to stone him because they saw what he said as blasphemy. And rightly, that was their law. They could stone someone who was guilty of blasphemy. It is impossible to read anything else into that statement of Jesus is, I am. Let me be clear what Jesus was saying. I am. He's saying, I am the one who called Abraham out of the area of Chaldees, promised him a new land. I am the one who told Jacob it would be as the numbers of the sea and gave Jacob a tribe of which is today Israel. I am the one who called Moses from the burning bush. I'm the one who saw him away there, hiding away, and I called him. And I am the one who told him that I would make the people of Israel free. I am that self-same God. There is Jesus standing in front of the Pharisees, declaring that he is God, the God of all those years gone by. And no wonder the Pharisees couldn't understand. Jesus is claiming the rank, absolute power and authority. The eternal, the divine. It brings to mind Psalm 90, verse 2, which says, before the mountains were brought forth, or even you had formed the earth and world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. God is the I am. Jesus is the I am. The self-existent, self-reliant, the self-essential deity. In John 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And then it says these very, very important words. The Word was God. There is no room for doubt. John realized by the Spirit of God who Jesus was. Jesus was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. That's not enough. He goes on to say, and the Word was God. Jesus was God, manifest in the flesh. Jesus was the great I am. In the great religions of the world, great leaders, great philosophers, all promise all sorts of things. They're all dead. They cannot help any of us. They know their part that they've played in any form in of history has long since gone. They can't help. Jesus doesn't say, I was, but Jesus says, I am. Jesus of the Bible, that John wrote about, that the disciples wrote about, that the disciples knew. Jesus of experience, and the Jesus of history, is the same Jesus today. He is the great I am. He's the faithful I am, the faithful and true witness. Hebrews 13 verse 8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today and forever. Who else can be the same yesterday, today and forever? Only God. We change. Some of us think we don't change as much as we actually do, but then we're always the last one to see faults in ourselves. But Jesus is the one who never changes. He never needs to change. He doesn't need to change for the whims and the fancies of man, because he is God. And Jesus was able to say, "And I am, and I've always will be, and I always will be." Part past history, present reality, and future events all unite in Jesus, the great I am. How comforting to know in these strange, peculiar days in which we're living, days that we have never known before, days when people are wondering just what is going to happen, what the future is going to be. And I actually believe that this is only the start of what the Bible talks about when it talks about sorrows. I believe that this is just the start. It may go away, it may come back, maybe something else worse will happen. But we as Christians need to realise that that has been told in the Bible. But how comforting and how good to know that in these days that Jesus is the I am. The relevant, today, constant, personal God and Saviour. The bread of life, the light of the world, and all these others I ams are seen in Jesus. The all-seeing, the all-knowing, the all-loving, the all-caring God who will never leave us or forsake us. Jesus is the I am.